This is Bob and Yart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Let's go to the abortion clinic. I don't mean physically, but in our minds, let's listen to what goes on there. And what we're going to do today is listen in to a couple conversations. This first one is real brief, and these are going to be conversations between pro-life Christians and those who are collaborators who help with the killing of unborn children. Now, this first one, we'll hear it, and it's going to begin with a collaborator. You got to listen really carefully, and then you'll hear one of the pro-lifers interacting with him, and then we'll hear it all again. So the whole thing is real short. Let's hit it.
Got a job. How about you try to get one?
A job?
Yeah.
What about... What about the little babies? We should be speaking out for the babies that don't have a voice, and you're helping the baby killers, sir. Your company helps the baby killers.
All right, we're going to hear that again now a little bit more.
Computer backups in a blue container for the baby killers. Those are the Iron Mountain tapes.
Got a job. How about you try to get one?
A job?
Yeah.
What about the little babies? We should be speaking out for the babies that don't have a voice, and you're helping the baby killers, sir. Your company helps the baby killers.
All right. The guy in the background, of course, is helping Planned Parenthood in their business of killing children. The guy in the foreground is a pro-life Christian, and he's a dear friend of mine, Tony Massey. Tony, welcome to Bob Benyart Live.
Thank you for having me, Bob.
Tony, Planned Parenthood didn't like you putting up some of the audio and some of the videos that we're going to hear today, and they used their clout to have them taken down off of YouTube.
I think so.
So what did you do?
Well, what I did is I started building a website called the Blood Worker Network at bloodworker.com,
mm-hmm.
and I just basically took these videos that I had put on YouTube, and then they were taken down,
mm-hmm.
and I was called a YouTube hate speecher at that point.
Right.
You're
saying, don't kill these kids. Don't help them kill these children. Please realize what your company is doing. Because of that, you're considered someone guilty of hate speech.
That's correct, according to YouTube.
Right.
So what I did is I set up a new website where I put all these videos back on the internet, and I've been working on this project for probably the last 3 months now, and we are at like 60 different
entities, vendors, people who help Planned Parenthood kill kids.
Correct.
So this is a collaborators project, so to speak, where the collaborators are those who enable Planned Parenthood to kill. Just like in Germany with all the innocent people killed in the concentration camps, it took a major economic machine to kill all those people. Planned Parenthood is the same. Without all the support structure, they could not kill all these kids.
Absolutely. That is correct. Without these companies, you know, Stericycle, Iron Mountain, Colorado Medical Waste, Planned Parenthood could not get any supplies in, and they could not get rid of, like, the dead baby body parts and things like that.
So I'm going to want to play this again now, this audio we've heard, and tell me, set it up. So who are you talking to and what are they doing? Who's Iron Mountain?
Okay, Iron Mountain is a company that has two divisions. This particular division is called the Data Management Division, and what they do is they trade out computer tapes with businesses. So they'll bring in a set of computer tapes, drop it off at the business, and take one away for off-site data storage. And they're carried in these blue, basically lunchbox-looking totes.
Right. So if we were in Germany when it's not unborn children they were slaughtering, but children who were of every age,
yep,
and adults, men, women, and children, then those who helped keep the books, for example.
Iron Mountain would be doing that for
right.
the Jews.
And they would say, we're not responsible for what they do here at Auschwitz or Mauthausen or any of the concentration camps.
And we call ours Denver's Dachau.
Yeah. So, and they would say, we're not guilty because we're not the ones killing. We wash our hands of whatever's going on in there. We're just making money helping them run their business. That's not a justifiable defense.
No, and that's absolutely what that guy said. He's like, well, I'm not the one in there killing the kids, so I'm out of it. It's just my job.
Tell me what he said, the best you can recall, then we'll hear
he
it.
He says, I'm not killing them. So
I'm not,
so I'm not responsible
them.
At all. I'm just all doing right. my job.
So we'll hear it again. We start out with him, and then you talk to him, and yep. then we'll hear the whole thing again a little longer. Let's hear
okay.
it all again.
Okay.
Got the job. How about you try to get one?
A job?
Yeah.
What about the little babies? We should be speaking out for the babies that don't have a voice. And you're you're helping the baby killers, sir. Your company helps the baby killers.
He said, I'm not the one killing them.
That's
Let's
right.
hear it again.
Computer backups in a blue container for the baby killers. Those are the Iron Mountain tapes.
Got the job. How about you try to get one?
A job?
Yeah.
What about the little babies? We should be speaking out for the babies that don't have a voice. And you're You're helping the baby killers, sir. Your company helps the baby killers.
Now the bleeps are because he was cussing. So
that's right.
To be respectful to everyone listening, we bleeped that out. And when he says get a job,
we hear that a lot out there.
Yeah, get a job. And they mean that, look, they want to be able to make money off of child killing without anyone trying to reach them or their conscience.
Or disturb them. They yeah. want to do it without anybody seeing or noticing or caring. Yeah.
I remember Bill Clinton was doing a fundraiser up in Aspen, and a dozen of us went up there, Tony. It was one of the most significant protests we've ever had in 20 years. And one guy across the street, a local, he shouted to me, he said, get a job.
Yep.
And I said, oh, yeah, I bet you my house is worth at least half as much as your house. And his wife cracked up anyway.
Yep.
So, Tony, yeah, we hear that a lot. And that's people who just want to not be held accountable for killing. So Iron Mountain, they help basically with the data.
Yep, that's correct.
And storage and data recovery and all. Because killing millions of children, it's quite an effort.
A data operation.
Yeah, it is. And so then you have 60 different entities, whether they're individuals who are employed by the abortion clinic,
Correct.
Planned Parenthood, and you have businesses. So you have Stericycle and Colorado Medical Waste.
Yes, Stericycle and Colorado Medical Waste are the companies that are responsible for taking away what they call regulated medical waste.
Well, it includes, for example, all the blood. Now, Planned Parenthood sells a lot of the baby parts. They have harvesters there. And the harvesters, they go through the aborted baby's body, and they literally dissect it, and they sell the organs, tissues, for high-dollar amounts to University Hospital on Colorado Boulevard, to buyers around the country, around the world even. Then there's all kinds of medical waste, including, and I've seen it with my own eyes, a lot of blood. And
yep.
so all that, whatever is not worth anything of the baby's body and all that blood, it has to be discarded.
Correct. And that's the job of Stericycle and also Colorado Medical Waste. They take out, in our videos, it's usually two, we'll say 33-gallon trash cans, they're all red, and you know, the biohazard cans, and then they throw a box on top of that. And so that's usually what we see going out of there every week.
Every week. And you guys have an idea of how many kids are killed because you're there. A couple things about that I'd like to ask you about. How long have you been going to the abortion clinic?
I've been going out there for probably about 3 months now.
3 months. Do you think it's all right if we tell the story of how you ended up going there in the first place?
You know, you took me down there the very first time.
How did that happen? I remember that, and I'm so thrilled because you are such a warrior for the Lord and for the innocent. We were friends through the creation movement.
Yep, so I've been definitely involved in Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, which is another great group for, you know, years, yeah. 8 years or so.
It meets once a month on a Friday night after one of our Real Science Friday broadcasts. You're a wonderful asset for that organization. And so you and I would talk about the unborn child being killed at the abortion clinic. You wanted to go, and one day I was going, and
yep,
Tony,
we went down there.
Let me pick you up.
Yep, and we went down there.
And then how soon after that did you start going regularly?
Pretty much right away. You know, just started right away.
Wow.
Going with Ken and Joe, who've been down there faithfully for years and years and years.
Ken and Joe Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other heroes who are there.
Yep. Cliff Powell is down there with me.
Yeah.
You know, faithfully at the driveway. Me and him usually stand there right at the front gate there.
Great.
And
many others.
Yeah, many others.
Yeah. Okay, so you've been going, and thank you for going there, Tony.
Oh, no problem.
It is such an encouragement to all the Christians who are there, to me, to all those who care about the unborn children. And then once in a while, people go and visit, and they find out what it's like. And so it's good when there are Christians there to welcome other pro-lifers mm-hmm. on their first trip to the abortion clinic.
Yep, that's right.
So you then videotape the collaborators, including these vendors that we're talking about who take away the dead bodies, and those folks don't always appreciate that you're videotaping them.
No, a lot of times they don't.
You said 33-gallon buckets that they're hauling out of there.
Two of those and then another cardboard box, probably 20 to 30 gallons, they throw on top of there.
So about how many children would you estimate? Do you have a way of estimating how many kids are killed at Denver's Planned Parenthood on a typical day or in a typical week?
Well, I don't know for sure on my own, but I did contact the National Stop Stericycle Group, and the lady there who helps with that says she's shocked by the videos that I'm sending her because she also is putting these on her website.
Wow. Fabulous. And so we do know that on a typical day, well, how many women who go in might be what they call patients? A dozen women or so on a typical day? What would you say?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's...
Yeah. And they kill 5 days a week,
up
to 20. Then they kill babies surgically and through RU-46 and the morning after pill. So they have all kinds of ways of killing kids.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And
probably the ones that show up at this Planned Parenthood downtown are probably the ones in for surgical abortions just because they take care of the medical pill abortions at the satellite offices.
Mm. Okay, so now then, Tony, you also talk to the regulars who are there, like the security guards, for example, and the workers who go in and out every day. And going through your site, bloodworker.com, I noticed there was one where you are talking at length to, I don't know if it was, what kind of person was it?
Well, let me tell you, what this is I found out this is actually one of their employees that dressed up as an escort that day because they're doing road construction down there now.
We call them death escorts.
Yes,
right.
The escorts are the ones responsible for taking the women from their cars to the front of the building. We call them death escorts.
Death escorts.
And they wear a blue vest.
And so because of construction, one of the normal inside workers came out with the vest.
Yes, sir.
And tried to herd women through the construction mess.
Yes, they put them on the main road, near the main road.
Okay. All right. So you ended up talking to this person. The other person's not responding, but I thought it'd be worthwhile for the audience to hear what kind of thing goes on when there is an opportunity to talk to an abortion clinic worker, a blood worker. So let's hear this.
20 to 25 little boys and girls die here every day, and you help out. When I get up every morning, I get the opportunity to maybe help a baby live through the day. When you get up every morning, you have the opportunity to help a baby die that day. Isn't there something wrong with that? Free help! Your little baby wants to live! God says His laws are written on our hearts. That means we know that killing and murdering little babies is wrong. You know that. That you come out here and help murder the little boys and girls every day. I mean, I understand you don't have a knife in your hand, but you're leading them straight to their deaths. You're telling them where to go, how to get to their death chamber. Not only do the babies die, but the mothers have to live with a lifetime of guilt. That the child that they never had, but they still remember, they'll remember this day for the rest of their lives. Many years later, some women have nightmares every night, remembering their abortion, remembering that little baby they never got to hold, got thrown in a trash can, ripped out of their bodies. See, women aren't prepared to have their babies ripped out of their bodies. They're prepared to love their babies, nurture their babies, help their babies grow up. But when their pregnancy is suddenly terminated, they're at a greater risk for breast cancer because their breasts are preparing to feed a baby. And when the baby is killed, the breasts haven't fully prepared and there's no baby to feed, and so those cells are more likely to become cancerous. So not only do you guys kill a baby, you give a woman grief for the rest of her life, and you guys put her at a greater risk for breast cancer. But the most important reason why it's wrong for you to be out here, sir, is because God said so. God said, do not murder. It's one of the Ten Commandments. That means do not kill somebody with premeditation. In other words, thinking about it first. If somebody comes in my house tonight trying to hurt my family, I'm allowed to kill them. But, don't want to get run over. But if I sit in cold blood, like Planned Parenthood does every day, and their victims come in and they know they're going to kill them, and they in fact do kill them, that's murder. And murder is wrong. And that baby's blood's going to cry out. One of these days you're going to be held to account. To a judgment day, God will ask you, why did you help murder little babies? Why were you standing out on 39th and Poplar one day, pointing little mothers with their babies to the killing fields? Why did you do that, sir? And you'll be judged. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior in your heart, then you will go to a place called hell. Hell is real. And that is where everybody goes who has not proclaimed Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Because we have all sinned. I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I'm no better than anybody else. However, I have proclaimed, and I do proclaim right now, Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. So when I arrive at the judgment, I will be judged for my bad deeds, which there are plenty of them to choose from. I'm nowhere, anywhere near perfect. I'm far from it. And I will be judged for those acts which God finds unacceptable to Him. But there will be one difference between me and those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and that is, I will go to heaven when I die. And those who have not accepted Jesus Christ will go to a place called hell. Well, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I know they don't allow you to talk to us, but...
All right, Tony, thank you. When you talk to him, it's obvious that you care about him.
Yes.
And there's no hate speech there. There's a pleading with him to reconsider what he's doing.
Yes, it was a rare opportunity to talk to what I find out is a Planned Parenthood employee.
And so at least I was able to witness to him and everything all. And then after that, for like 20 minutes, I read him a bunch of Bible verses that we've specially picked for our work out there.
You know, we've already talked about the vendors who take away the medical waste, but Colorado Medical Waste, I watched one video where you were interacting with the truck driver and he's hauling medical waste in and out of another abortion clinic. This wasn't at Planned Parenthood.
No, this is at Mayfair in Aurora. And
Mayfair Women's Center, something
Mayfair
like that.
Mayfair Women's Center in Aurora.
And they do abortions there. They have for many years.
Yes, yes. And
you know what I found interesting watching that is his expression. He did not want you there, obviously. But he was bothered not just by the fact that somebody is disapproving of him, but you can tell that the possibility is there to prick their conscience, to get them to realize what they're doing. Now, they might completely reject and harden their hearts. In the Bible, we see that happen all the time. But you give them the opportunity to reconsider.
Yes, usually if they're laughing or they don't say a word or anything, then we know that they're not caring at all. Mm. Whereas if the guys are angrily yelling back at us, then we know that they are caring, or at least it's going through their brain and they're thinking about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, why can't Planned Parenthood use their influence to get these videos taken down anyway, even though you're not on YouTube?
Well, this is a privately set up website, and we've set it up in such a way that, you know, obviously God will keep this website up as long as he would like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But we have put some things in place that we believe will help us keep it up.
Wow. All right, so you've taken precautions and you're trying to do a good job. Now, there's a whole list. You said there's 60. And before we look at one in particular, what I'd like to do is consider the list generally, because on the homepage of the Blood Worker Network, there's just a list of all these different vendors and individuals. And the individuals do things like security guards or whatever.
Yes, and abortionists.
But let's go through some of the vendors that you've seen specifically helping Planned Parenthood or other abortion clinics kill kids.
Okay. So what we've seen is that they've established a pattern. The mail guy comes, UPS, FedEx, they come daily. Every once in a while we see Dunbar Armored out there. Stericycle and Shred-It come.
An armored car company.
Yes, it's Dunbar Armored. They come out once a week, and we actually know their schedule pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are some of the major people that are always out there consistently helping in the murder of unborn children.
And then, of course, there are also those who bring food to them for their parties. They have frequent parties and staff meetings.
Yep.
So who are the vendors who bring them food?
Well, one of the biggest offenders out there right now is Jason's Deli. Of course, they're famous for freaky fast delivery. We say that Planned Parenthood has freaky fast abortions.
Mm.
So that's how we deal with him.
Mm-hmm. And so Jason's Deli, maybe somebody who eats there could think twice about doing that, because they're stopping off at the child killing center on a regular basis.
Very regular. What we're seeing now is actually they're either parking outside of the property and walking it in.
Because they don't want their company vehicle to be identified.
Correct.
Going into the abortion clinic.
Or they take the thing off the top. You know how they all have the identifier on top of who they're working for.
Right.
Even Iron Mountain brought in a stealth truck. It was completely unmarked except for initials of their name and their DOT trucking number.
Mm. All right, and so they realize that this could potentially backfire for them as they become identified with child killing. They realize that, and they don't want that to happen.
Well, that's true. I mean, I'm seeing their behavior change out there a bunch. And even like the workers, they don't want to come out when we're videotaping or whatnot, so they're trying to bring in a lunch. But then that causes me to be videotaping all these vendors. So now even they're having the workers of the abortion clinic bring in lunch from somewhere.
Wow.
So only one worker is exposed to us.
Right, right. So, Tony, on the site, you also have a message to the black community.
Yes, sir.
I was a bit surprised by that on here, but it's great.
So why don't you explain that?
Well, the message to the black community, we have a video from an OSA event in North Carolina.
OSA is?
Operation to Save America.
That's right. Operation Rescue National, it's also called.
We have a black pastor on there. On the message to the black community, we have Pastor Ronnie Wallace up in North Carolina. He takes a minute telling about what has happened, and I'll do it in like 20 seconds. But basically, what he's talking about is the disappearance of the eugenic societies and the emergence or the appearance of the abortion industry and Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. The abortion industry is the new home of America's eugenics movement. The eugenics movement exploded in popularity in America, and then it was exported to Europe and Germany and China, where millions of people have been killed. And there's been forced sterilization, just like there was here. 60,000 Americans forced to be sterilized against their wishes. And that was upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court as late as 1942. So the history in America of eugenics is an evil history. Now it's still here, but it's in Planned Parenthood.
It's in Planned Parenthood and the abortion mills across the country.
Mm. So, Tony, we only have a couple minutes left, so what can people do? Well, for one, they could visit the site.
Yeah, visitbloodworker.com.
And let people know about it, put links to it. What else could they do? We talked about not shopping at Jason's Deli. That only helps if somebody's here in the Denver area.
Yes. Some of the things you can do is you can take time visiting my website, and you'll know all the other vendors that are on there. I would encourage you not to buy from those vendors because they provide services to abortion mills.
Mm.
I would encourage you to ask your company, whoever you work for, to stop doing business with these vendors. Another way is to tell your friends is on Facebook and Twitter. We're actually going to be on Twitter, too, as Blood Worker Network, and that's where you'll be able to get our updates.
Mm. Wow.
And we also have a feature on our website where you can actually copy our whole entire site onto your own server. So if you're a pro-lifer, we really ask that you copy our site, and we can help you do that.
That way, they really can't take the site down because it's replicated elsewhere.
That's correct. That is part of our system.
Yeah. All right. So, Tony, thank you very much for your love for the Lord and even for the blood workers and for the innocent kids. Thank you. I appreciate you being a brother in Christ and all you're doing.
Well, thank you very much for having me on here, Bob.
You're very welcome. That's Tony Massey, and he has created this site, bloodworker.com, with the Blood Worker Network, and it's tough. It's tough trying to stop an injustice that has become systemic. We know that in England, William Wilberforce fought for 40 years before finally, just before he died, it became obvious. In fact, the law was passed outlawing slavery. And so we have that hope and that vision here in America and around the world that just as slavery is today unthinkable, so too will child killing be unthinkable soon. Hey, may God bless you guys.